Jesus called the grace. The grace of our God who loves us. The pearl of great price. And yet in our time it is so often said that people seek after the consolations of religion at cut-rate prices. That too many people, too many Christians, are looking for cheap grace. Cheap grace means that the love of God for us is accepted as an idea in our head rather than as an experience in everyday life. Cheap grace means that the forgiveness of our God is accepted without any kind of repentance or change of heart. Cheap grace is grace without obedience. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without the living Christ in our heart. You may know in your head that God loves you, even infinitely. You may know that God does want you to have life and have it abundantly. But this mere idea of a gracious God who continues to offer us life is not enough. If ever you already become the kind of person that God intends you to be, God's grace must be accepted by us through obedience and through discipleship. There is no other way. So often nowadays, I continually hear people ask me, how can I make some kind of sense out of my mixed up life? Where do I find peace in my soul? Is there any way out of this terrible emptiness, the emptiness that I'm caught in? Where do I go from here? What is there to look forward to? The truth is, it is time to stop asking questions and to start living in the Spirit. Now is the time to stop playing around with the rules and start obeying the rules. Now is the time to stop pining for life and start living the life of gospel values. And so often we forget that our God does not offer us this wholeness of life that we are looking for simply because we have earned it. What we are looking for is a gift. It is a sheer gift of God's grace. It can never be earned. It is a gift. But that gift does not become real in our life until we are ready to accept it through discipleship, through obedience. And the commandments we just heard about in the gospel are those directions for the life we are looking for. That is how we show that we are willing to accept the gift that is always available. And right now, the Spirit of the risen Savior here in our midst shows us how to interpret the commandments of God in a positive way rather than a negative way. When Jesus said in the gospel, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. When he said that, he was not talking about a hard day at the office or about the frustrating day you had at home with the children. Jesus is talking about the heavy burden of the law that we people impose on ourselves as we grimly try to live up to the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount out of a sense of obligation. Somewhere along the way, we learned it incorrectly. This negative approach to our relationship with our God so often is based upon a mistaken notion that we must earn God's love for us. It is just the opposite. It is a gift. All we need to do is be open to accept it. What Jesus tells us today is that, in the words of that old song by Johnny Mercer, we need to learn how to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and learn how to latch on to the affirmative. Our Savior wants us to understand that our God does love us so much that His offer of a good life that we long for in the very depths of our heart is never going to be withdrawn from us. The offer is always there, there for the taking, as long as we are open to the directions that come with it. They go together. There is no cheap grace. That is the call to renewed life that comes to us every hour of every day from our God. And that is exactly what the people of the world today are looking for in our time. That we do have a God who is always breaking into our world, into our tight little selfish world that we have created. That God is breaking into our world, into our heart, with His new invitation every day. That a greater fullness of life is always available. But we must remember that our God is never going to take away our freedom. We can say yes or no. Our God will never force us to accept the gift. But He does keep on coming to us every day, calling out to us by name, inviting us to become the kind of person that we were created to be. The problem is the obstacles we put in the way. Our pride. We go running off so often, try to live life without Him, without the gift. And then in our weakness, we make mistakes, we fall flat on our face, and forget that even then, flat on our face, our God continues to invite us to take the gift of love, to grow in union with our God. There's another part of the mystery. The mystery that if our God is ever able to enter more fully into our heart, more completely, then our God needs to find ways to empty us, to make us more empty of self, so that our God can make room, so He can make room for His Spirit in our heart. If ever we are to become assimilated into God, to become more one with our God, it means that our God must remold us, reshape us in His image and likeness. For this reason, this God who loves us and wants us to have fullness of life has come to us in Jesus Christ, present here, inviting us to this new life now, in this world, as it is. We are not being invited to withdraw from this world in order to go out and live a so-called saintly life in some other place, wherever that might be. The offer to union with God is here and now in the give and take of this broken world, in the rough and tumble world as we find it each day, in the laughter and in the tears, in the coming together and in all the separations that cause pain, in the easy times and the hard times. And yet so many people make the mistake saying, after my problems are solved, then I'll begin to live. They're missing the whole point of what our God is trying to do for us each day. It is within the very solving of our problems that life is given to us. This is how God meets us. The gospel tells us no matter what happens each day, we are to continue loving this world, immersing ourselves in it, identifying with it, learning to live our life fully in this world as we find it. Because that is exactly where God comes to us, in the most unexpected places and events. We discover our God revealing himself to us, the events and the people. Those are the epiphanies of how God comes to us. It's like the two middle-aged women who were part of a crowd in the after-theater group in the Algonquin Hotel in New York City. They were sitting there under the palms, and a waiter passed by carrying a tray with three cups on it. One of the ladies said, "What is in those cups?" And he said, "It's Irish coffee, my dear. We're famous for it. We make it with very strong coffee and then a shot of Irish whiskey, and then we put cream on top." And the woman thought for just a moment and said, "That sounds delicious. Do you think you could make us each a cup with Sanka?" Now that is really what we're talking about today. We people are always trying to get our spiritual Irish coffee made with Sanka. We always try to water it down a bit, dilute it. But Jesus gives it to us straight. He tells us straight out that to grow in union with God, we must learn to acknowledge our total dependence on God as the source of all life. Even though we want to water down the message of discipleship, we must acknowledge how weak we are, how dependent we are upon God. We can never be independent. The kingdom of God is not for later, it is now. That is the secret. We are weak people. We need to learn how to depend upon God to become strong. The more completely we give ourselves to God in our weakness, the more God is able to give back to us our life in a whole new dimension, in the dimension that really counts, the one that we're all looking for.